Welcome to Bitch Talk, booze and interviews straight from the heart of San Francisco. My name's Erin. We are here at the historic Castro Theater during the Framelime Film Festival. It's the 43rd anniversary, by the way, as old as I am. You can believe that. I've been to every one of them. But I'm here with the writer and director of a film called Sell By. His name's Mike Doyle, and I'm here with one of the lead actors, Scott Evans. How are you guys?
We're good.
And you're handsome.
Bitch talking booze. I didn't realize there was booze, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't either.
Those are my favorite things.
Me, too. Booze and interviews.
Right?
Yeah. Well, me, too. We have something in common. I want to talk quickly about the film, and not even quickly. I want to talk about the film. It has a big New York personality.
Yes, it does.
Can you please talk about that? Because I could feel it the entire time I was watching the film.
Well, I'm from New York. I was born, actually, I'm one of the, you know, one of those people who was actually born in New York City. My mom's side is from Harlem in the Bronx, and
wow.
My dad's side is from the Bronx. So, like, we're like New York peeps.
Yeah.
So, New York is a... it sounds so... I hate when people say this, but
say
I'm going
to say it. Just say it. It's fine.
New York is actually a third character in my film.
But it really is. Because sometimes people try and do that, but like I said, it was one of the... It's my first question, so yeah. It felt like it. Yeah.
You know, with the world in which these characters live, the art world, social media world, the culinary world, the world without homes, it all sort of fits very nicely within... the world of New York City.
Yeah. And is this both of your first times at Framelime Film Festival?
Yeah.
And at the Castro?
This is my first time. My first time at the Castro Theater, not my first time in the Castro.
Well, I wasn't going to make any assumptions.
No, I've had my fun here.
Yeah.
He has a checkered past. This is my first time.
We all do.
This is my first time at Framelime.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But not my first time at the Castro. But what I'm so excited about is... we're going to have an organ playing in front of the movie.
It is actually... You didn't know that, Scott?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So this is the U.S. premiere tonight.
It is, yeah. We premiered up in Toronto for our world premiere. And this is the U.S. premiere, which is really, you know, I'm excited and scared, as Sondheim would say. I'm so gay.
Oh. I'm gay. Wear Framelime. Where else better to be gay?
Right. I wanted to ask about writing about this film. Is it very close to real life for you?
No. Yes. I mean, the answer is no and yes. Anything that you write, anything that you paint, any song you compose, you can't help but bring your years of experience into it. So, of course, everything is colored through the filter through which I've seen the world over these many, many years. But it's not a memoir. It's not autobiography. I just sort of threw a bunch of things in to create fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as an actor, Scott, how was it being directed by a fellow actor? He's not here. There's a wall.
Oh, no, please.
He's not listening.
We've done this enough time, and he knows how I feel about him, and it literally is only good feelings, actually, truthfully. That was actually one of my biggest fears and biggest excitements going into it, because there are times being, you know, directed by somebody who wasn't an actor, and it's like it's a different situation when somebody that was an actor directs you, because they know exactly what to say and how to kind of get out of you what they want. And there were just days where, like, he would come up to me, and it wasn't even like pulling teeth. It was kind of like he would say one thing to me, and it's like, oh, I know exactly what you mean, and thank God you said it like that, and this is why I can't do that, or this is why I can do that. And it
right.
kind of was just such a relief. But at first, you know, of course, it was nerve wracking when I was like, not only just an actor, but like a seasoned actor, a professional actor who's a working actor, and casting me in his movie as a lead in a movie with like all these other people that are seasoned actors. And I was like, oh my God. But, you know, we did it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it worked.
And for you as an actor, going on the other side is your first feature film.
Yeah.
How was it for you?
It was great. You know, I I've been directed over the years by some pretty great actor directors, the biggest of whom would be Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, you know that guy.
He was mayor of some town. Yeah,
well,
just
his
kidding.
Politics will leave that.
Right.
Out.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves actors. He loves the process, and he has a. He has a wealth of experience, and he has a very well-oiled machine that he's been working with for the last 35 years. So that creates a really safe space for actors, and he trusts his actors. He's one of those people who's very decisive, and I've learned that from a lot of directors, be they actor directors or regular directors. Having control and having a clear vision and being decisive creates a space, because everything's so nuts that you want to know that when you're an actor and you're taking risks, that someone has your back, that you can maybe try something you wouldn't ordinarily think of doing, because even if you fail and, can I say fuck it up?
Yeah, it's called bitch talk. Let's do it. Bring it.
If you fuck up, that's okay. It's all safe in the world. But I also wanted to make sure, as an actor director, that I didn't impede people's processes. That I wanted to be very respectful, and everybody has a. Scott works very differently than Augustus, who works very differently from Michelle, who works very differently from Colin, and so navigating everybody's and process and having a respect for it, and also I don't have a voice in my head like, well, I would do it this way.
I was going to ask.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Which is really, I don't think it's something, you know, that I'm conscious of to allow actors to have their own experience.
And I was going
to
say, probably refreshing for you.
And on that same page, it's funny because there were after, you know, after the first couple of days, once we sort of figured each other out, or once he sort of figured me out, I can drive myself crazy with thinking about things, and there would be days where, like, I would just get home and start second guessing and being like, what did I do? And before I could even get into my head and start thinking too much, I would get a text from him saying, hey, just wanted to let you know that today you, like, and just making me feel good about what I did. And it wasn't necessary. And of course, then I'd second guess being like, he's just doing that
right,
to make
be
me
nice.
Feel
yeah.
better. But it got to a point where it would just be like, I know that you're beating yourself up about this. And don't, because this. And it was just like, you know, and then of course there were the days where I wouldn't get one. I'm like, why isn't he texting me? No.
Right.
It would be every day.
Oh, he ghosted you, is what you're saying.
Exactly. You know? He recast me, and it was a nightmare.
Hey, bitch talkers. This is a Lola minute. What is Lola? Lola's a modern approach to feminine care. Lola products are 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes. Guess what? Founded by women, for women, bonus. And guess what else? They do good with your purchase. For every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. You couldn't do any better than Lola, quite frankly. They sent us at Bitch Talk, me and Angela, some samples. And earlier this month, I got to try them out, and I loved Lola. So I hope you guys will love Lola too. Guess what? For 40% off of all subscriptions, you can visit mylola.com and enter the promo code BITCH when you subscribe. One more time, for 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com. That's MYLOLA.com. And enter word bitch, BITCH, when you subscribe. So please support Lola. We love them, and you'll love them too. So when I was watching this film, it felt like a better version of Friends, and I wanted more. I'm just saying, it felt like that. I wanted more. Are you thinking that this could spin off into a series?
You know, you're not the first person who has remarked that.
Okay.
But not in the same way.
Oh,
you are
okay.
The first person who said it that way.
All right.
I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted to make a contained film, and I wanted to create an ensemble, and I'm going to steal something that Scott said, that I wanted people who watch it to feel like they could be one of the friends, that they were part of this circle.
Mm-hmm.
And because there is something for everyone in it, without it being pandering. But for gay people, for straight people, yep. for the young, the old.
People of color?
People of yeah. color, yeah.
You checked
yeah.
all the boxes.
Well, yeah, but I, you know, and I hopefully didn't do, you know, it's just a reflection of my world.
Yeah.
You know, it was never, I never had boxes. They, you know, if you come to my apartment in Brooklyn, you know, on a Tuesday, you'll see a version of this friend circle.
Right.
Well, and I think that's what's so great about it is not ever having boxes is it kind of leaves the page open with all of the boxes. So it's like yeah. when you leave the movie, anybody can see it and be like, oh, that checked that box for me, that box for me. And not just these are the boxes that are checked. Which ones do you also check?
Right.
And I think that's what people will leave this movie feeling.
But that's why I said it was friends but better because there was
well, thank you.
A little more color to offer, right, in different
gay
experiences.
People and people of color.
Yeah.
yeah.
My last question is a little serious and touching on politics. We're kind of in a volatile era right now politically. Just a little, you know, things change all the time. In Hollywood, is it easier, quote unquote, now for anyone that identifies as LGBTQ to find and get roles either in front of the camera or behind, or is there still a lot of fight left right now?
For someone that's auditioning, it's become a thing where I don't know. I think having gay parts and gay roles in movies is sort of a thing where people are kind of like, oh, well, look, you know, there's someone in there that you can audition for. And it's sort of like, cool. But there are still straight men that are auditioning and getting those roles. And yeah. while it doesn't matter that much, there's still that level of we're not seeing LGBT people in leading roles,
yeah.
leading the movies. And I think... and especially out actors. I think Mike always talks about how he wanted to cast out gay actors as his lead gay character roles. And I think having a gay couple as the center couple in this, and not in a way where it's like, this is a gay couple, take a look at this.
Right.
It's sort of like a couple where people can be like, I relate to that couple, and not because they're gay or because they're not gay. Because I relate to them on the level as a couple, whereas a lot of the times you see the gay couple, it's because, oh, they have those gay problems, whatever
right.
those may
it's
be.
It's turned up like to yeah. 10, yes, yeah.
Yeah, I you know, to piggyback on that answer, it was important to me to cast two out gay actors, and I think we're making great strides. I think, you know, especially now with certain segments of the trans community
mm-hmm.
being represented, you know, particularly or specifically on Pose. But I think there are more strides to be had. And I think, yes, after I saw Call Me By Your Name, which I loved, I was just like, can't one of them be gay
mm-hmm.
for real? Not that
right.
just gay people can play gay
right.
parts or
because they're out there.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, only one can play one and the other can play the other. But for instance, like when Angels in America came out, I you know, I'm probably going to get slammed for this, but I was like, this seminal work of gay history, there's not one gay person in
mm-hmm.
it. I was like, that bums me out.
Right.
So, you know, that was several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, for me, you know, we live in these bubbles in New York and Los Angeles.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like such a big deal to hire two out gay actors, but it still is. And
right.
so until it's not, I think we still have work to do.
Mm. That was great. Well, you guys, I think you have to go introduce your film because it is the U.S. premiere of Sell By. I just want to say thank you, Scott Evans, and thank you, Mike Doyle, for being on Bitch Talk.
Thank you. I love Bitch Talk.
I'm obsessed with Bitch Talk.
That's all Scott does is Bitch Talk.
Perfect. Well, this is the podcast for you. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks.
Good luck. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was writer, director, and actor Mike Doyle and actor Scott Evans from the film Sell By, which is premiering tonight at the Frameline Film Festival in San Francisco. Very adorable. It's clutching my pearls. Super cute boys who made a really fun, lighthearted rom-com that I really enjoyed. And I really was honest about it being kind of better than Friends, just in terms of casting and storylines. But also that it's very relevant to today. So please find both of these guys on socials, follow them, follow Frameline Film Festival, which is one of the longest running LGBTQ film festivals in the world. And you can find Bitch Talk at bitchtalkpodcast.com as well as BFF.FM every Monday from 5:30 to 6 a.m. Bitch, please.